Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, this podcast is brought to you by Life Work Bookkeeping Solutions, LLC. Call 610-324-6895. Bookkeeping for professionals and small business owners, personal finances, QuickBooks training. Give them a call. Thanks. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. March 26, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast, literally. Blue skies, sunshine, little breeze, little. I don't know. That seems to be changing as we speak. I felt like I left my house a little while ago and it was pretty windy. Now it looks pretty mellow. So keeps getting better. Big day today. It is Sunday, but it is a big day. Well, we've had a big weekend. But as for today is Sunday, it is the day that we have our first row practice, rowing the canoe. Seems so simple, but I'm sure before it's one of those cool outrigger canoes. And I ordered some stuff, a wetsuit and some gear. And today we are having our first row practice. So I'm excited and nervous. I'm a little nervous, but you know, it should be fine. I saw all the people at the meeting. We are all about the same level, I think, right? It's not like I told my wife. Because I told my wife, I'm a little nervous. I'm not nervous about participating, showing up, doing it. What I'm a little nervous about is just my back. You know, watching the, you know, when we went to the meeting the other day, watching the video, you know, it's a lot of rowing. Surprise, surprise, right? And a lot of bending over and sort of folding. And, you know, I have a very bad lower back. It's fine, but, and it probably will be fine. But like I told my wife, I just, you know, I'd hate for something to come up that doesn't allow me to do this because, you know, it does look fun. I went to the meeting. Or we went to the meeting on Saturday. Bunch of basically average sort of people. You know, I didn't see a group that I was going to participate with that I was going to be holding back, right? I think it should be fine. But that's today. I'm looking forward to that. And then we also had my buddy Rob West had the Ballers Classic down at Cape Pendleton High School yesterday. And so I took Sam and I, we went to do that. Really cool. A lot of great basketball. You know, my son Sam wants to play basketball. He does play, but he wants to be better and he wants to, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's really into it. So it was cool to kind of do that with him and sort of hang out. And so we had a good time. So it's been an excellent weekend so far. Like I said, I'm rowing. I might change my opinion of the weekend after the rowing, but I think it's going to be awesome. And the one cool thing is it's really nice out this morning. So I ordered a wetsuit pants, 3mm, in case you're wondering the details. And I got them yesterday. Ooh, they tight. I hope I can lose a little weight. I'll just let me lose 5 pounds, and then I probably will fit a little better. But I think wetsuits are pretty tight. I mean, it's not, I'm not a sausage, but it's definitely, you know, snug. So I think that should be another interesting thing. But anyway, that's what's sort of been going on. I wanted to come in and try to sit down and do this podcast. I had a great week last week. Shared on the ninth step, a lot of good stuff in the ninth step. I went to the meeting Friday, and you know, was chatting and I shared, and it was interesting because the topic always seems to come up again about the spiritual awakening, right? All of that kind of stuff. And you know, you can go to a meeting and you can listen to folks that talk about it that haven't seemed to have found it, right? Or have painted a picture of what they think it is, and that sort of version never sort of shows up. And so they're a little disappointed. I hear people that talk about they have no interest in anything spiritual, right? They make that a point. The reason they're here is not spiritual. It's just, you know, it's just, I got lucky, right? Or it's a different sort of spiritual. Like, I had a dream and the dream told me that I was going to quit, and then I just quit and I've never picked up and I've been great ever since. You have those people, those outliers, right? In my experience, the version of alcoholic that I am, you know, I never have come into a program just being exhausted from lifting a glass of vodka to my mouth. You know, it usually requires, you know, a beating, some blood, stitches, some sort of humiliating moment that kicks ego down enough where, you know, I might be available to try to catch the message of this program. Jealous again. Jealous that I haven't found that spiritual awakening or that relationship with that higher power that, you know, I was expecting. And, you know, I've shared, you know, that was one of the things. You know, I would consider myself a typical alcoholic. I don't find myself as very special. I'm not a rare breed. I am cut and dry. I have pretty much all the alcoholic behaviors. And one of those alcoholic behaviors was, you know, what am I going to get out of this? Right. I think a lot of people, you know, it's such a funny kind of puzzle. You know, when you take an alcoholic or you take a person struggling with a recovery and they get the opportunity to get sober, they almost feel, I know I felt that I was doing something so great, right? That so many people had been trying for me to have, had been trying to help me have it happen, that when it did happen, I felt like I deserved another level of attention, right? Like, look at me, I'm getting sober, praise me, right? This is, look how awesome I am. Because I was delusional, right? I was fucking delusional. You know, and it falls back into that same story. You know, it takes a lot of work just to be normal. But for a person like myself who'd been down so long, you know, I wanted to be recognized for doing something amazing. None of you could fucking help me. None of you could fix me. I've finally done it. I've done it myself. And I need everyone to recognize. And I want everything that comes from this to come, right? What am I going to get out of this? And, you know, I shared at the meeting on Friday, I said, you know, a lot of people have a relationship with a higher power that they, I don't think, even realize. And my, you know, how I shared it was that, you know, the, you know, when I came into this program, it was like, what am I going to get? And one of the things that I wanted to get was a spiritual awakening and a relationship with a higher power. And so that means, you know, it's that I have to and I get to kind of thing. And I came in as a victim of alcoholism. I had to be here, right? Jesus Christ. All right, give me what I get, blah, blah, blah. And that's the frame of my, that's the mindset that I came from when I came into this program. And so it was always like these benchmarks of things that I wanted to get, places I wanted to get, reach, and I could never get them. So I was like poo-pooing them. Like, you know, I don't find anything. I didn't seem to find any miracle that came from the fourth step. I don't understand why we have to do the eighth and ninth step. You know, it was always as a position of a person that had to, not a person that gets to. And so as a person that had to be here because of I'm a victim of alcoholism, I want to know everything I'm fucking getting. And if it doesn't happen right away, I give up. Right. And, you know, what I shared in the meeting was, to me, it's all a byproduct of removal of stuff. You know, how do you find gold? You remove dirt, right? It's the work that goes in is the gift that comes out. And I just wanted to show up and get the gift. And the reality is, when I'm in that frame of mind, I'm not available for the gift. If you come in with your hand out, you're going to find yourself very disappointed. And that happens to a lot of people. I didn't find that spiritual awakening. I didn't find that relationship with the higher power. I'm like, you might have more of one than you realize. You know, my whole life has been like I said in the meeting, my whole life I've had two choices, what I want or what I should do. And listen, you could probably find some other choices, but for the story, that's the point. The point is I either did what Tom wanted or I did what I should do. My problem is my life, big majority of my life is I did what Tom wanted. And, you know, at no expense, really, at the expense of my parents, at the expense of my friends, the expense of my coworkers, you know, I always are thinking and our lives, our actions, over to the care of a higher power. And I'm like, how do you do that? Do you say, hey, higher power, I'm thinking about going to the grocery store. Sounds like a good idea. All right, there we go. No, that's not how it works, right? It's these decisions, these selfless decisions, right? It's like you know, if I'm just, you know, break it down. Like if I'm thinking, hey, you know, should I? In fact, the example I used the other night was I didn't want to go to the meeting, right? I did not feel like going. I was hanging out with my wife. We had sort of had, we had some stuff to do on Friday, kind of rushing around, sort of were hoping that we could do this and that and it would all fit in, and it didn't. And so we had this sort of issue, right? It had a little, it was a little tension, right? Because I had to go to this meeting. I didn't have to, but in her mind, I had to go to a meeting. And I went, but it created a little bit of tension. And I said in the meeting, I didn't really want to come, right? It would have been easier for me to stay home and hang out with my wife than sort of have this weird tension that we have between us right now because of this meeting. It's not because of the meeting. It's because of us. But you know what I'm trying to say here. And so I didn't really want to come. I had a choice. You know, the lower power is like, you don't need that meeting. Wife's going to be upset. You should probably stay home with your wife, right? And then the higher power is like, hey, you're an alcoholic. You go to meetings. You've made this commitment. You go on Friday nights. I have a buddy that I've sort of reunited with just recently that him and I used to get. We got sober, you know, many years ago together. And sort of since this COVID-19 ending, we've sort of reunited. And he's like, where are you going, man? What meetings are you going to? And so I sort of made a commitment, so I had to be there, right? But that's the thing. I could have either stayed home, and if I had stayed home, I'm sure that that would have been okay, but I'm just trying to understand what's behind it, right? And, you know, that lower power. So I could have stayed home, or I could have gone to the meeting. I could have done what I wanted, or I could have done what I should have done. And, you know, that's what I did. I came to the meeting. I did what I'm supposed to do. you know, that is a relationship with a higher power. I made a decision more of a humble-based lifestyle rather than a self-serving lifestyle. And to me, just that is a relationship with a higher power. Right? That is, I think more people have relationships with higher powers than they realize. And when you make a decision, or when you turn your will, my thinking, and my life, my actions, over to the care of a higher power, I think that that's the same thing as just making decisions that aren't serving self, that are more humble-based. Listen, good thinking, good living, right? That's sort of the message. But the thinking, for me, has to be in the humble-based category, right? It has to be about doing the right thing. And so the whole point is that I just don't know if we come in with our hands out, what am I going to get? I think we get disappointed. If we do work, you know, these steps, the 12 steps of this program are amazing, right? And they are right where they are supposed to be, and they do exactly what they're supposed to do to get us to the place that we need to get to, right? But we can't go into it with a pre-existing condition, you know, which is, what am I going to get out of this, right? Finally, look at me. I'm sober. Praise me. Raise me up. Carry me through the streets. It's happened. It's a miracle. It doesn't go like that. This is one of those things that if it feels good, it's bad. And if it feels bad, it's probably good, right? It's probably good. And so, you know, if you are out there struggling or wondering if you can have that spiritual awakening or a relationship with the higher power, you might have more of one than you realize, you know. And I'll say the story of the Corvette because it helps me try to figure out how it was a story that helped me try to understand where I was as far as with the relationship with the higher power and turning my life over and that kind of thing, which was that, you know, if someone decided to give you a Corvette and parked it in your driveway and was like, here you go, buddy, here's your Corvette, it's your favorite color, favorite kind, favorite style, right? And you're like, I love it. And then they take the keys and they throw them in the garage and fill the garage up with boxes. Shut the garage door. You're like, well, shit, I can't drive the damn car because the keys are in there. So that's right. You need to go through, open the door and start going through the boxes to get to the keys. And the boxes have, like, you know, relationships, financial situations, work, you know, whatever, all self-centered shit, right? All the self-centered stuff in our life. And you have to start working through it, right? Self-centered fear, figuring it out, right? And that's what the steps do. That's what these steps do. We first admit that we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Oh, shit. You know, I do not have my book. I don't want to start reading these or spewing these steps out and get a word wrong. But, you know, you fucking have to come to grips with it. We have to admit it. We're powerless. And then we have to have a relationship with the higher power. And then we build that our moral inventory, right? Which just identifies us of what we are and what we are capable of being. You know, sometimes I'm like, I wasn't so bad. No, here's your inventory. You have moments you're pretty fucked up, right? And then sitting down with someone and sharing it out loud. And then let's see, so that'd be five, so six. You know, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. I think that's seven. I don't know. I don't have my book with me. But the point is that every step takes us through this journey that finally gets us to a point where, you know, we're not sitting there with our hands out wondering, what am I going to get out of this? What do I get from this program? When I stopped asking what I'm going to get, and when I started working on removing self-centered fear, and when I stopped living on self-will, and when I recognized that self is actually the problem, not the alcohol. Not that I can drink, but you know, alcohol didn't make us like this. We were already like this, and so when I recognized that. You know, that's the other thing is that, you know, when I stop drinking, I'm like, hey, I fucking quit drinking. I'm not doing drugs. I should be great. Mm-mm. I still have a lot of problems, right? And being willing, right? And the willingness is key. If you're not willing, don't bother. Well, I shouldn't say that either. If you got a little bit of willingness and you're thinking about it, just hang in there. You know, just hang in there. I'm not going to say that's it's kind of a fucked up way to think that I sometimes that sometimes happens to me. It's like, you know, when you've worked a program and been around a program and been involved in this thing for as long as I have, you see people come and go, and you start, or I start feeling like I can pick out the winners, right? Like, this guy's never going to make it. Oh, this guy might have a chance. This guy's never going to make it. You know, the fact is that, listen, if you're here and you're walking in, you know, keep coming, right? Keep trying. It's not easy. It's either not easy or it's real easy. I'm not sure. To me, it seemed like getting sober was very easy, right? Every day in this journey for me has been very easy. I have not white-knuckled it. I have not been, you know, paralyzed with cravings. I have, you know, from the day that I got punched in the face to the day that I drank was pretty easy. But like I said, you know, I came in sort of two phases. I came in the first time as a victim of alcoholism. I had to be here. My wife had had it. I was trying to keep a relationship together. I was trying to keep a career together. I was trying to keep from putting a fucking gun in my mouth. So I had to be here. But when you have to be somewhere, when you, you know, that attitude, I guess, fine, you know, it's like, hey, am I keeping you from something? You know, because you're more than welcome to go right the fuck back out there and do what the fuck you were doing. You know, there's nothing that is more aggravating than a person that has that self-centered attitude when they're trying to get sober. It's like, yeah, fucking go back out there and fucking drink then, you dumbass. It's ridiculous. And I've been there. I've absolutely been there. So watching that transition from a person that has to be here to, you know, drinking and then coming back to a guy that gets to be here, man. And when you get to be here, you have grace, you have humility, you have patience, or at least you have glimmers of them, right? You can't be perfect, but it's, you know, you have these moments and it just feels at peace, right? Not like, how come I didn't get that or what am I not getting? It's just this, you're cool, right? You're cool. You're cool with whatever comes your way. And that's pretty fucking great. Yeah, so I guess the whole point of that story is that, you know, if you're new or you're shit, I mean, if you got 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't know, if you got multiple years of time and you're still struggling with that relationship with the higher power, a spiritual awakening, you know, how do you feel? Do you have to be here, right? Or do you get to be here? Do you, you know, is this something you were sentenced to, right? Or is this something that you choose to do? I think that's the beginning to really building that relationship. And if you're making good choices, right? If you've turned your will and your life over to the care of God, which means your will, which is your thinking, and your life, which is your actions, and you try to do those in a positive, humble light, more than likely you have a great relationship with the higher power, right? Sometimes I didn't realize my relationship with the higher power until I had moments with my lower one. Right? I was telling my dad, or I don't know who I was telling, but I was like, there's no voice in my head that's like, you are doing terrific, right? Why don't you open another business? It's just, take everything. It's not like ChatGPT, right? There's not this AI voice in my head that's like, yeah, why don't we start another business? You really learned a lot. Let's try this. Let's try that. It's this voice that's like, you should shut the salon down. You should do this. It's terrible. I'm like, why? Why is it that way? It is, it's insane. And, but like I said, if you're making choices, you know, if you're choosing to go to meetings, if you're choosing to reach out to a sponsor, if you're volunteering, if you're getting involved in a group or a home group, you're making higher power decisions. And, you know, that's sometimes it, right? There is no fireworks. There is no pat on the back. There is no raise me up. It's just normal. Normal thinking and normal living. And I don't know. It's pretty good. Let me see if we can read the daily reflections and then I will get out of here. Somewhere here. Yeah. So big row day. Hope that goes well. I'll keep it. Not like anybody cares, but I will I will let you know how that goes tomorrow. Well, it won't be tomorrow, but I will let you know. Jesus. I will keep you posted and let you know how that goes. It should be great. I'll probably podcast tomorrow. It is Monday. Here we go. Daily Reflections, March the 26th. All right. The teaching is never over. March 26th. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, as you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. These words put a lump in my throat each time I read them. In the beginning, it was because I felt, oh no, the teaching is over. Now I'm on my way. It will never be this new again. Today I feel deep affection for our AA pioneers when I read this passage, realizing that it sums up all of what I believe in and strive for in that. With God's blessing, the teaching is never over. I'm never on my own, and every day is brand new. Yeah, I agree. You know, humble living, humble thinking. Humility-based thinking and humility-based living. Yeah, there's tons of stuff that you learn because you're teachable, right? You have humility. You don't have this voice inside your head that says, you weren't wrong, they were wrong, right? There's no flexibility when you live that self-centered life. It's always what I'm getting, what I'm not getting, yada, yada, yada. It's hard to, I think we get discouraged a lot when we live in that secret self-centered life because I don't know if we all not realize it. I remember when someone told me I was self-centered, I was like, what? I can't believe that. No, it was true. And when I realized it, I was like, oh, that's disgusting, right? It was like this moment. I was like, I never realized. And now that I see it, ah. And then everything I did was, ah. And everything I said was, blah. I'll never forget telling. I remember my buddy Matt. He said, hey, I'm having a get-together on Friday. And, no, it was a get-together on Thursday. He was having a get-together. And I remember saying, well, I have to work. Can you do it on a different day? Wow, right? That moment that my voice said those words. And that was something that was completely, and probably sat there wondering, is it possible, right? Like, hey, can we move it to a different day? I'm working on that day. But that's me. That was me in a fucking nutshell right there. Hey, move your party. I have to work. Come on. I'll just never, or I remember when I called somebody, my buddy Chatty Cathy, right? It was hurtful. It was condescending. It was sarcastic. I don't know if it was condescending, but it was definitely sarcastic and it was hurtful and it wasn't necessary, but it was the way that I lived back then. That was what the shit I would say. Never even realizing that I was hurting someone's feelings, which is crazy. But I remember he called me out on it. I was like, oh my God, I fucking feel like an inch tall. You know, it's those moments. Ego devastating, complete humiliation, right? That's the moment where we get, and just, you know, back in the day of when I was in my drinking days and carrying on, it was always about just getting off that fucking train. But once I jumped off that big train, the big drinking train, you know, they're all these little trains, right? It's all just little, it's just dwindling them all down. You know, the way that I talk to people, the sarcasm, you know, the ability to not realize that I was fucking self-centered, you know, was one of my biggest problems. You know, and like I said, when I came in here as a victim of alcoholism, all I wanted was like fucking ice packs and blankets and, you know, brush the hair out of my eyes and look at me, look what's happened back there. You know, of course I admit I'm powerless over alcohol. My life's unmanageable. So shut the fuck up. Shut your ass. Hey, I hope everyone has an amazing day. You know, it's step 10 this week. awesome step, right? One of the coolest steps, I think, that that really gets you, really allows you to take care of your side of the street. One of the greatest things of, for me that ever happened was the 10th step, because it allows me to clean up the mess that I make immediately, right? And one of the things about getting sober is when you make a mess, it doesn't set well. You're like, oh, I got to fix that. So looking forward to it. Check in with you next in the week. Later.